My name is Fiona Dillon and I am the author of the Freddie Button series of food adventure books for children.
103.2 Dublin City FM, Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Megacycles per second. This is Dublin City FM across Dublin. This is The Sod Show with Brian Green, him, Peter Donegan, and on today's programme, lots of Katrina Redmond. Coming up on today's programme, we have author Fiona Dillon, who will be talking with Katrina all about her book and Glenisk and Bloom and all those kind of things. That's coming up in the next half hour. The eagle-eared among you will have heard that we do not have a sponsored by on the show anymore. So we are delighted to be able to say thank you. Thank you and thank you for all the years, 3.5 years of sponsorship we got from those good gentlemen at Green Sacks Compostable Bags for Home and Garden. It doesn't have to be the last time I say it, because in a strange twist of fate, now we can actually interview the guys on the radio at some point in the future. Let's hope we can get them in for interview. But while sponsor, you can't interview your sponsor. It's some broadcasting commission rule or something. So that's going to be sorted. But 3.5 years of sponsorship from Green Sacks. Thank you, lads. That does leave a little bit of a gap if anybody does want to come in and take it. Yes, I can hear a stampede. Get in touch with at Sod Show, or get in touch with the good people at Dublin City FM if you are interested in sponsoring the radio show. And we continue on podcast as well, available each Friday from around 3:30, 4 o'clock, where at sodshow.com you can download the 4.5 years of archive of The Sod Show. Get in touch with us here today, this afternoon, at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, and during the week, email us info@sodshow.com. Let's get to today's interview of the week, and Katrina caught up with her good friend Fiona Dillon in Bloom a few weeks back, and they had a good old natter about the books and things. Have a listen.
And we're listening to The Sod Show, Dublin City FM 103.2. And I'm here with, well, I suppose my friend, Fiona Dillon. So this isn't going to be a difficult, this is going to be a grand L chat. So, Fiona, you've just written a series of children's books. Would you like to tell me about the character Freddie Buttons?
Freddie Buttons is an 8-year-old boy and he lives at Tumbledown Cottage. His best friend in the world is his dog Juno, and together Freddie and Juno have loads and loads of adventures in the garden. It could be something like one of the hens goes missing, so what's going to happen the eggs, or it could be somebody is attacking the strawberries, so what's going to happen there. So what I'm doing is I have 6 books and there's a food theme in each book, so it could be strawberries, eggs, honey. And it's really, it's all about teaching children about where their food comes from. That's the message. It's not eat healthy food. Children are sick to death of us adults telling them that. It's really about teaching them that it's okay to get your hands dirty. Apples don't have to be shiny. Potatoes can be a little bit dirty and grubby. It doesn't make them not taste nice. In fact, it probably makes them taste better. So it's about getting that message across in a fun way.
Fantastic. So your publisher is Orpen Press, and this isn't the first book that you've written, is it?
No, my first book was Food from an Irish Garden, which detailed my learning journey as I learned how to grow food from, well, I always had chickens, but from growing vegetables to keeping bees to keeping pigs in the garden, keeping a turkey for Christmas. So back in January 2013, I got a call asking would I like to write a book about my little adventures in the garden.
I'm just going to rewind a little bit, because do you want to share with our listeners what you used to do before you became, well, I hate saying living the good life, because I hate people saying that to me about myself, but before your life changed so dramatically, what did you do before you moved to Carlow Kilkenny area?
Well, I moved to Carlow to work, and I found myself in a situation. I was working with my husband in the corporate world, and we were working 12, 15, 17 hours a day. Absolutely no joy in that whatsoever, especially when you have four children, and we all know how fast children grow. And I felt like I was missing out on so much. So I went from suits and meetings and briefcases to wellies and frizzy hair and tatty clothes. And I couldn't believe how happy the whole thing made me. My mother is very fond of saying, speaking of the good life, my mother is very fond of saying, you used to be Margot, but now you're Barbara. I'm very happy to be Barbara.
I think I am too. Yeah. So once you decided that you wanted to change your life so dramatically, it has affected your life in so many different ways. It has been a massive positive change for you, hasn't it?
It's been a hugely positive change. And when my husband and I started this, he went off to start his own little business. He just longed to be self-employed once again. And for me, it was about getting back to basics and learning to cook well. We had no money, so we really had to cook on a budget. I had to learn to grow vegetables. I certainly didn't have green fingers. I remembered my dad doing it, so he's quite proud of me now that I've managed to master some of the basics. But it also, when you go through something like that, it makes you realise what's important and what's not important. One of the things I did was, if I had surplus eggs or surplus vegetables, I set up a little surplus stall at the gate. And I can tell you that you very quickly realise the value of things. If you're selling half dozen eggs for 1 or 2 euro, and you want to buy a lovely greenhouse, or the children want something lovely, and if you measure it in 2 euros, you really value the worth of things.
So all the way along then, you nurtured this idea that it wasn't just writing about your journey, it was about transferring and creating a book and a vehicle for giving a message to younger children. So Freddie Buttons, and I've noticed I've read all the books and there are some familiar characters in the book.
Yes. Isn't that right? Oh, absolutely. Well, Freddie was a choice. I have three girls and one boy, and I just thought, you know, girls will read anything. Boys might be more attracted to books with a boy as the main character. So Freddie was a boy. Juno, we used to have a Juno. Juno is his pet dog. And we used to have a Juno. Of course, Mahatma Gandhi features. Now, Mahatma Gandhi is my pet goose at home. And Willow Goose. And I wanted to introduce it's almost like my garden coming to life in a different vehicle, but it's still quite like my garden.
And how important is this message for children to you? I mean, when we met recently at Bloom, you had created a whole garden around the idea of Freddie Buttons, and you decided that this is the way you were going to communicate some of Freddie Buttons' message to, well, virtually half of Ireland, considering the amount of people who visited Bloom that weekend. So explain to me why you decided to go to Bloom.
Well, so I had the books. Any publisher will tell you, don't go near the children's market, it's crazy. But I think with my experience of bringing up children and what I had taught my children, that always seemed to be the most important thing for me, was that I was teaching them the value of good food and where it comes from. I couldn't have done it. I got on board with Glenisk, who were looking to sponsor a garden. Certainly as little old writer, you're not going to get to do something like this. But I just thought, what an amazing way to meet all of the children, to show them the beehives and the eggs and the strawberries and the bug hotels. If you have a garden at Bloom. Of course, I never thought about it as an actual show garden. That bit went over my head a little bit. And the other thing that I didn't realise was everything in the garden was at children's level, so that they could really see the ducks in the pond. They weren't looking up and looking into an adult world. It was down there at their level. What I didn't expect was that every adult that passed by was enchanted by it. And I asked them why, because there were so many amazing gardens, you know, that were, to me, you know, very sophisticated. And they said, your garden is real. And I really felt flattered by that, because That's what I'm about. It's real, down to earth, back to basic stuff, and people really identified with that. Those with small children wanted to have it and yearned to have something like it, but the older generation, it reminded them of their childhood and when they were growing up, so it was quite nostalgic for them. So while I thought it was targeted to reach loads of children, it did that, but lots more with the adults as well.
So where to next for Freddie Buttons? You've written this series of six books. Do you want to tell me a little bit more about the titles of the books and where we can find them on sale?
Okay, so with Freddie Buttons, there's six books and six themes. The first three books are about 20, 22 pages, and they cover eggs and goat milk and honey. And they're for probably age 5 to 7, but they're very much books that parents can read for their children. The second three books are twice as big again, covering more food topics and probably for age 6 to 8. To tie in with the books, what I've done is I've created freddiebuttons.com, which is a website that I want to make quite interactive. Of course, the books will be on sale like they'll be on sale in Eason's or, you know, the usual bookstores. But I've also done a few more things. For those, again, you know, it's all about value for money. For those that don't fancy spending money, they can collect tokens on Gleniske yogurt. So there's a way of doing it while, you know, feeding your children organic yogurt. FreddieButtons.com is very much going to be, there's a Talk to Freddie section on it, and I want that to be very much the children can interact with Freddie and talk about their growing experience or what they're cooking or what food they like. I want to put some games on it, some food games, so that the message is getting across all of the time that real food comes from the ground. One of the things that sticks out in my mind when I was researching this was I spoke with a teacher, and she said to me that there were children in her class eating chips that didn't know they came from a potato. This is 2015. If I can just be just the smallest drop in the ocean and have some little part of changing that, I'll be happy.
So can I just ask you a couple of questions about your own garden? Because which is probably a little bit neglected at the moment.
Well, I'm all about keeping it real, Katrina. So here is the truth. I learned very quickly in the last 18 months that you cannot grow and sow and rear your own food while writing books about it. You know, I'm not Superwoman. So my garden, I'm the first to say that my garden isn't the most amazing garden. Mind you, it never was, even when I was in it full time. This year we didn't have pigs because when I write about these things, you know, it's all well and good to say, oh, I'll get this, I'll get that, I have the space. But it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of care, particularly when you're talking about hens or pigs or turkeys. So we don't have the pigs at the minute. My husband is a super beekeeper. We're up to about 9 hives, and that's his absolute hobby, so I don't have to worry about those. So I'm collecting eggs. If any of my friends are looking for broody hens, I'm saying, here, take this one, because I'm offloading all of the time. I'm keeping the numbers down. I think it's the way to do it. If I'm going to focus on getting the message out to children, I want the animals that I have to be well tended, of course. And it's amazing how much food just grows whether you're there or not. The things that keep coming back year after year. And I have loads of children and loads of help with weeding, but no, my garden is my garden. No, I think that's the nicest thing I could say.
Have you got any crops growing at the moment?
Oh yes, I do. The potatoes are down, we have cabbage, and we have all the usual things, and the garlic, and I have the usual. But what I haven't done is, you know, the way each year you'd like to grow something different, I always like to add something. So there has been no adding this year. The strawberries are still coming out, the raspberries, the gooseberries, they're all flying it. And that's what I really think is brilliant about nature, that you put something down like that and for years you have it. And it understands, it doesn't need me that much. A little bit of care goes a long way, and of course I can't wait for the apples to come in. And so yes, we have crops, but we certainly won't be living off them for 6 months this year.
I have to say I have a little bit of a sense of panic myself anyway for berries this year, because they seem to be very, very abundant, and I've got this kind of sense of panic when everything comes ready to pick, and then it's going to be like all hands on deck to get everything picked and stored. Do you have 4 kids, do they help you an awful lot in the garden, or they help you with the storage, or are they like a certain teenager in my house far more interested in getting out and gallivanting, and then it's like, oh, Mum, do I have to?
Yeah, well, we have a little bit of that going on. But since 2009, when I started all of this, I think that, you know, they have learned so many lessons, as I have, and it's all hands on deck when it needs to be. Nobody is going to, no more than I won't leave them stranded after school or after the cinema. They know that there are times when they have to help me, and it's a great family. It's great for uniting your family. Or even when I say I'm going to milk a goat, this is the one that I just don't understand, to make some yogurt. Now, I don't have time to keep a goat, but my neighbour has goats. And if I say I'm going to milk a goat up the road, my car is full. I've got a husband and kids, and it's like an outing to go get ice cream. It's that same excitement, except all we're doing is going to milk a goat, because it's a great crack.
So where are you happiest? Are you happiest writing? Are you happiest in the garden? Would you like to get a little bit more of a happy medium between the two? Or are you happy the way you are at the moment?
I think I'm very happy because I have my garden. I know what I'm about and I know what I want to do. I can write about it, but I can also stop writing and step right outside into it. And there's a lovely sense of calm in different areas of my garden. I can still go collect eggs. I think I have found the happy medium. I don't strive for perfection, so I strive for happiness and contentment, and I think my garden gives me that.
Fiona is a well-known Irish food writer and Irish food blogger, and not only has she been writing her books, but she also continues to write quite eloquently about Irish food up and down the country. Is there anything happening in Irish food at the moment that you're particularly excited about, or that you think people should be interested in, or has there been a change in how people treat or use Irish food, do you think?
I think month on month people are becoming they're becoming more aware. I'm always aware of the fact that we've been through the most awful recession. Money has been tight. But I think the upside of that is people go back to basics, and they start to look at local food, and they start to have a chat with the butcher, and they go back to shin beef and all these sorts of things. And I think that's going to stay with us. We've had the most awful recession, but the artisan producers are coming up, and they're getting stronger and stronger. Ireland is becoming more and more a place where the food is rich and organic, and, you know, we have all the Origin Green. We've got so much going on. I think it's just going to get stronger and stronger. I think we're going to get more and more away from the packaging and the plastic, and we'll never get away from it, of course, but I believe that there are changes afoot. It's going to take time, but I think the next generation is key to that. So getting into the schools, I work with Slow Food, and we've put chickens in schools, you know, so, and schools that I go to and schools that I talk to, they've got kitchens, they're cooking, they've got vegetable gardens, they now have chickens. And one of the most interesting things about Freddie Buttons and his garden at Bloom and people that I meet is that Montessori teachers and preschool teachers are coming up and saying, I need those books, because that's what I'm doing with the children. So it's even before they start school. That's been the most surprising thing. I write in Irish Country magazine as well, and when I do talks with them, we never really thought about the Montessori teachers and the preschool teachers. You're thinking about teachers, primary school and secondary school. But you know what? There's a little movement starting there at the very, very beginning. And that's where we need to be.
Where can people find you, Fiona? Where do you have a website? Do you have Twitter? Do you have Facebook?
Oh, my goodness, do I what? Well, FionaDillon.com was where I started. And that's where I talk about what I'm doing in my garden, or what I'm not doing in my garden. That would be my lifestyle blog. And then, of course, I now have FreddieButtons.com, which is going to be the kiddie one. Lots of food, lots of activity on that. FionaDillonHL is for Hunter's Lodge, is my Twitter feed. And then you'll find the official Fiona Dillon Facebook page as well.
She's rolling her eyes here trying to count them off. Fiona, best of luck with the Freddie Button series. My children are enchanted by it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. It's a brilliant message to get out. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Thanks a million, Katrina. I enjoyed the chat too.
Thanks, Brian. Back to the studio.
Thanks, Fiona, and thanks, Katrina. A wonderful story. I've never thought of it this way, but I grew up and we'd go to the shops with our parents and we'd see where food came from. It mightn't be coming straight out of the ground and onto the plate, but we knew where. How can children not know where chips, that they come from potatoes? I can't actually tune into that. It's so odd, but I believe it to be true if I'm told it. And it's so wrong. It has to be changed, that we have to know where our food comes from. We can't. Does anybody remember the advertisement for Smash Potato? And they had the robots and they were laughing at the people who were peeling the potato. And you could get this smashed potato from a packet and you poured it into the bowl and you poured boiling water on it. And hey presto, you had your mashed potato from a packet. Didn't really last, did it? Maybe the last laugh was on the robots in the ad. But we've got to tune into our food for all sorts of reasons, which will become apparent in years to come for sustainability. And we will have to do more of this kind of stuff on the Sod Show. More farm to fork and foodie things. Katrina, we're counting on you to bring these stories in. Thank you very much. Some wonderful takeaway points in there as well. Don't strive for perfection, strive for happiness. I'm going to write that one down. I'm going to tweet it. At Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, and info@sodshow.com during the week if you want to email us. Let's play out with Song of the Week. And I have never played this band before on The Sod Show. It gets harder and harder to say that categorically, but I do know that I've never played They Might Be Giants. And this is a song from them called Istanbul, Not Constantinople. Until next Friday at 3 p.m. on Dublin City FM. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mr. Dan Miller, everybody.